Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season four, episode three. Yes?
Yes.
Second one this week, getting a twofer. I would not say necessarily, I would say don't necessarily get used to it, because I don't know if we're going to be doing two episodes in a week very often, but here we are.
Sometimes when we're behind schedule, it works out for everybody.
Yeah. Honestly, okay, so the only thing that's happened between when we talked last and when we're talking now is the Cardinals. And they unfortunately lost the Cardinals series 2-1. But I think we're well in the realm of moral victories at this point. And I would call the Cardinals series a moral victory in many ways.
I'm with you on that. I mean, we won. Put up a good fight. They were good baseball games. Like, we didn't get destroyed at all. And two, like, we took, if we're going to win one game, you might as well take the last one. Start out on the right foot going into the next series.
Yeah, and we lost the other two games by what, a combined three runs, right?
Yes, two runs.
It was a one-run game and a two-run game?
Yep.
Which is, you know, I mean, losses are losses for sure, undeniably. But they were pretty good losses.
They were pretty good losses. Game one was one of those kind of bigger than baseball types of days where Sonny Gray was coming back, presumably making his final start of his career in the Oakland Coliseum. And, you know, he's one of a handful of guys who's out there saying nice things about the A's and telling everybody like how magical of a place this can be. So it was, you know, he destroyed us. He stuck it to the A's, but good for him. We love Sonny Gray.
Yeah, and you know, he's one of those dudes, and there aren't many of them anyway, and there may be fewer of them than there used to be. He legitimately throws six pitches. You know, like throws all six of them well.
Yeah. I think that is kind of maybe why he went off the rails, you know, like year four of his career when he was on the A's, things were going downhill. I think he's just trying to do too much. Who knows?
But anyway, yeah, he was honestly amazing.
But now he's figured it all out. He is ace.
He's so good.
He's back in ace form these days.
Yes.
Real quickly, they interviewed him and asked him, like, what's your favorite moment here? And I bet you could guess it, Dan. We were both there. It was game two of the 2013 ALDS. He pitched eight scoreless innings against the Detroit Tigers. Yoenis Cespedes scored the walk-off.
Steven Vogt.
Steven, I don't know why Yoenis is coming to mind. He was on base. But yeah, Steven Vogt with the walk-off single over shortstop's head. Just an amazing day. Probably the most blissful experience I had ever had at the baseball field.
I mean, it was 0-0. It was 0-0, right? It was just zeros the whole game, right?
Zeros the whole game. I think it was 1-0 final.
Yeah, in the 10th.
Justin Verlander versus Sonny Gray. A battle.
And it was not the only time. And I think what game five, he also pitched pretty heroically. I mean, I think it didn't work out. We lost. I mean, we obviously lost, but I want to say like game five, he gave up a two run homer to Miguel Cabrera maybe. And that was it. So I mean that was the coolest playoff series that I've ever been alive and baseball conscious for sure. As an A's fan, you know, I mean, I think, because game four was the Coco walk off, right?
No, you're mixing up years.
Oh, okay.
2013, all I can remember is Josh Reddick striking out against Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, and I think that's really all you need to know.
Right, fair enough. Okay. But yeah, so that, I mean, long story short, we love Sonny Gray.
We love Sonny Gray. He, you know, he's one of the greatest A's of all time. He just is. He's a good guy, really, and a good A. So yeah, Sonny Gray went 6 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, as opposed to Ross Stripling, went 5 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 4 K.
Not horrible from Stripling. Not his best outing, obviously, but could have won him a game.
Yeah, and you look at this game and you're like, well, if the A's had just scored more than one run, they would have been right there. So hard to blame.
The one run that did score was Estuary homering, pinch hit homering, right?
Pinch hit homer, just adding to the chaos of his recent demotion and promotion.
Yes. So,
but yeah,
you know, disappointing game one. Yeah, another good bullpen day, honestly. Which, you know, it's becoming maybe it's more of a feature than a bug, which would be nice.
I'm ready to start expecting it.
Yeah, yeah. And then game two was a bummer.
Game two was a bummer.
I really thought they were going to win.
It seemed like it. Felt like it the whole way. I mean, J.P. Sears was basically no hitting them again for the first few innings, if I recall correctly. Continuing and this was like good start.
And this was Kyle McCann's coming out game, right?
That's right. A literal moonshot for his first home run. Ball went so high.
Yeah. And I'm not, if McCann's going to hit even decently well, you know, which it seems like he might, I'm okay with DH and Shea sometimes and having McCann catch, you know, because he looked good behind them. He looked good behind the dish for sure.
He did have a little catcher's interference debacle, but hard to blame the catcher too much.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that really gave up. I mean, you know, every run we gave up was earned supposedly, but thinking back on it, I remember thinking that was a big play and that it was a bad thing. I wonder if that hadn't happened, if it would have made a difference. But yeah, I mean, you lose by one run. Really, it was just a bad little inning by Danny Jimenez. He had a couple walks. And that blew the whole
thing.
Yeah,
this was the first time this year that I've seen him really, like, lose it. You know, he just didn't have much. He couldn't find the zone. But even that, I mean, for them to get out of that situation, only down 3-2, I was like so sure that they were going to win. You know, I was absolutely. Especially with the way that they've been playing, I was positive they had at least 2 more runs in them.
And the pitching did their job. Like McFarland came in, got the out. Mitch Spence came in, 3 innings, 5 Ks, 1 walk, 1 hit.
Mitch Spence looks legit. Mitch Spence, this is one of those things. He may find his way into the rotation at some point this year. You know?
I'm starting to think that they changed some sort of philosophy, because it's like all last year, it feels like we were working with the same, you know, type of talent bullpen-wise, but this year they're really getting something out of all these guys.
They really are. And I mean, if you look at the three innings from Mitch Spence, 36 pitches, how much more do you have to stretch someone out before they can start? You know, like he is, and he looks good. You know, I would not be mad at a you know, whatever, cap him at like 75 pitches. Don't let him go much beyond that if you're that worried about it. But like, let the dude start. He looks so good. But he's also, it's not a bad weapon out of the bullpen either. But yeah, we kind of got mowed down by Lance Lynn a little bit, which is not really what I thought was going to happen.
nope.
And their bullpen is good too, man. Their bullpen is, I kind of forget about Ryan Helsley sometimes, but he's really good.
Somehow really I did not even realize it was Lance Lynn until right now.
Yep.
Thought it was just...
Oh, I think that was part of the reason why I felt fine about it. Because the whole game, I was like, it's Lance Lynn, dude. He's definitely going to give up.
He's toast.
Back-to-back bombs at some point, you know?
Who was he playing for last year? The White Sox? And he was terrible?
I want to say the White Sox, and he's awful. The last time, when he was playing for the White Sox, he was terrible. I'm not 100% sure if that was last year, but yeah. So yeah, you, man, a 3-1, 3-1, and then 3-2 hurts.
It hurts, but
game
you're
three,
relevant. Like you're right there.
Game three, Paul Blackburn wasn't his normal perfect self, but he was good enough. We got him a dub, which is really all that matters.
Pretty sad.
We got after Steven Matz a little bit, which was nice. How do you feel about Tyler Nevin? I mean, after this game, how can you not like him?
He has hit quite a few balls opposite field, like right side, kind of just shooting it the other way, which is a great approach that you just don't see as often as you should at the big league level. He's doing that. He got a nice double in this game. I do think, can't help but wonder if he's getting playing time because he's like Mark Kotze's friend's son or something, but I don't really care. If you're hitting 303, you can stay in this lineup until you're not hitting 303.
True. I agree with that. But yeah, this game was cool. They got up early 2-0 on an Esteury Ruiz home run, because I guess that's his thing now.
Because he's the best player in baseball.
He also stole a bag. But anyway, got up early 2-0, then gave up 3 in the top of the 4th, which is, dude, it was crazy to watch Paul Blackburn give up 3 runs in an inning.
Yeah, I was like, this is unfair. They're cheating. They can't do this.
But we got it right back. We got it right back in the 5th. And, you know, just a lot, very, very kind of plucky team this year as opposed to last. And, you know who really, Shea Langeliers seems to be, his clutch rating is up for sure.
Big time.
You know? And they're not necessarily just like good ground outs or sack. Like he is making loud contact at important moments in the game, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know? His double scored
as a ground rule double
to tie it. Ground rule double should have scored Geloff, but his ground rule double, so he had to stay at third. But that tied the game. That in itself was a +20.5% win probability play. They went from like 54% to 75% chance of winning.
And let me tell you, it felt like that watching the game. As soon as that, it was the sigh of relief. You know, it was the big hit that they didn't get in the first two games, and that's all it would have taken, I think, in the first two games to win the game. You know, just like that hit in that spot, and he got it, and it was like, oh, of course we're gonna win. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's all we needed. It was good to see Geloff. Geloff got what? He got a hit and a walk. Because he had that one huge game, but he has struggled at times.
The A's had 10 hits. I mean, you're looking at this box score, and every starter except for Max Schumann got a hit. Yeah. That is not something we've seen for a couple of years, I would think. Something else that's jumping out to me is in the 5th inning when they were rallying and they took the lead, I think it was Darryl Hernandez with the sack fly to take the lead.
Yes.
And
true,
sack flies, another thing this team was not doing the last couple of years, just playing to the moment, doing what you need to do.
Yeah, even what you were saying earlier about Tyler Nevin hitting the ball the other way, productive outs.
Yeah,
they seem like they are coming much more frequently than they did last year, you know. Which is a big part of, if especially if you're in these close games, which it seems like the A's are going to be in a lot of one run games. You got to execute these opportunities to get a runner from second to third with nobody out every chance you get, you know? Because also it doesn't seem like we're going to lead the league in homers.
No.
So we got to find a way to score.
Let's not try to lead the league in homers.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to find more creative ways to score, which I think we can totally do. I firmly believe in this group, especially as compared to last year's group, in their ability to do that.
I think this game epitomizes what this team can do and should do if they're going to be winning. You know, they're going to give up a few runs, but they need to score more. And they, most importantly, after a good starter outing, the bullpen comes in and shuts the door. We got three holds and a save out of this one. Went McFarland, Adams, Ursig to Miller. None of them gave up anything, not even a single hit. Okay, Miller walked one guy. But it's...
We'll allow it.
It's just beautiful. This is what they need to do, and they're doing it. It's only April 18th. Just, oh my gosh. The difference between this year and last year is crazy.
Well, it's also the watchability is there.
It's finally there. Yeah.
You know, like it may have even been the second or third episode last year where I said, you know, the most egregious thing about the last year and the year before was the unwatchability. Like it was ugly, dude. Like it was so, they were losing bad. They were making mistakes. They were not taking advantage of opportunities. Every time they made a mistake, they were compounding it with other mistakes. You know, like it was just hopeless. And it doesn't feel hopeless right now at all.
And I can remember,
if anything, it feels hopeful, I will say.
It does. I remember anytime anything would go right last year, it just give it an inning and it's all going to go away. It's all going to get washed away. And it always did. There was never any sort of building of momentum at all.
No. Neither in game or overall, literally neither of them. Like they very rarely got momentum in a game for any extended period of time. And I would say aside, we had that one, we had what one, like eight, one eight game winning streak or something last year that was kind of fluky and random.
That's right. Coinciding with the boycott game.
But other than that, there was no momentum to speak of at all. And I feel like they have momentum right now, like as we're mm-hmm. recording. I feel like they have at least some. Because as you said, I mean, they won the third game. Going into
They've won three out of four series, right?
And you know, winning, getting a good win off of two close losses going into an off day is not a terrible way to be going forward, you know?
Not at all. And now we get to see how they stack up against the Guardians, which is going to be
interesting.
Opening day didn't go so great, but I'm thinking after a couple of weeks, maybe it can be a different story.
Well, and it's also, it feels like a different group of dudes on the A's right now. You know, I know it's mostly the same group of guys, but they feel like they're behaving differently. Mm-hmm. You know,
the vibes are good. They're all saying it.
I mean, and it feels like the vibes are good. The vibes are good here. The vibes are good on the podcast.
The vibes are good here.
All right. What is your moment of the week?
The return of the Estuary. Estuary. I need to work on saying his name. But Ruiz, man, he's back and he wasted no time making himself known, making his impact felt. The two home runs he've hit have been absolute bombs.
Yeah.
And so thinking back on what we were always kind of hoping to see from him, this is it. He just wasn't hitting the ball that hard. So if he can start hitting the ball hard, he's going to get on base more. The power numbers are going to go up. Everything's going to be gravy.
And he'll probably be able to take a few more walks potentially because they won't just be trying to throw fastballs by him all the time if he's turning on some of them.
Yep. So I don't know what they figured out, but something is clicking. And let's hope.
It's a small sample size still, admittedly, but he is absolutely crushing the ball. His OPS is like what, over 1,000?
Yep, 1.333, 357 average.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. You know,
pretty good.
Mine is we're beating a dead horse with this a little bit, but this probably isn't even the last time we're going to talk about it this episode. But the bullpen was great, and it just warms my heart when a bullpen pitches well, you know, because it's one of the most frustrating things in the world when you get a good start and you know that your bullpen is so bad that it's not going to matter, which is how it happened last year. We got very few good starts last year overall. And I would say just off the top of my head, probably 50% of them were all for naught because the bullpen gave up. And, you know, I mean, we may have had good starts in games that we lost by double digit runs last year because our bullpen was so bad. You know, I mean, there were a number of times where I can pretty distinctly remember the bullpen giving up like six runs in an inning and then like three runs in the next inning. And it's like, wow, that's a lot of runs. Like that's a bad week for a bullpen. And we were doing that in games, single games over and over and over again. So just maybe these dudes aren't even great. Maybe they're just league average and we were just watching hopeless dudes last year. But it really is like makes it so much more watchable because you know that complete games are going to be few and far between. You know, so you're going to watch the bullpen. You're going to be seeing your bullpen pitch if you watch baseball consistently. So it is so nice to have them be watchable. Like, I'm excited about the bullpen at this point. Like, when it's time to go to the bullpen, I'm like, okay, like, let's see what, you know, like, let's see if Austin Adams can keep getting everyone out somehow. And they've done it so far. And it was, like we said, Danny Jimenez had a bad inning. But, man, one feels like we've had one bad inning in the last, like, 2 weeks.
He had a bad inning, and then McFarland came in and bailed him out.
And it wasn't even, I mean, we had a bad inning, and we got out of that inning down 3-2. That's what a bad inning is now. You know, last year a bad inning would have been like
10.
It's like 9-2. Yeah. So the bullpen in general, I'm loving them. And if the only one who made a mistake is Danny Jimenez, that's a good week for me because I love Danny Jimenez. So it's going to take a lot for me to get mad at it.
That's right. And this
which
shows
kind of transitions. Right, into our first point.
What's the strengths of the team so far? It's pitching and is it maybe even defense? It's definitely three of our starters and our whole bullpen. I haven't looked at any other metrics, but they keep throwing this out every game. Like the A's are leading the league in double plays.
Which is a combination of pitching and defense.
I'm trying to think of a way that like leading in double plays somehow signifies that you're a bad team, but I can't think of it. I can't think of it at all.
I guess that there's people on base.
I guess there's people on base.
You know, I mean, there's going to be people on base regardless. So I think any way you cut it, that's a good metric.
Yeah, maybe you're not striking out as many people as other teams. I don't know. These are just hypothetical reasons. But at the end of the day, I mean, got to give them the flowers that they're due. They're leading the league in double plays. And if they keep that up, that's definitely going to bode well.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be a bad thing. You know, it may not be like an indicator that they're going to win the World Series this year, but it's definitely not a bad thing.
I do wonder what the deal is with Ruiz and where he fits into the defensive plan, because they seem unhappy with his defense, you know, to the point that J.J. Bleda is just, he is the center fielder.
Right.
Butler's doing his thing, and right, he's doing well with the metrics. I guess who's been playing left field most of these games?
I feel like
Ben Brown. Who's playing in this game?
Mostly.
Max Schumann, Seth Brown.
Seth Brown. I'd say mostly Seth Brown.
Is just off to a rough start.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could see a world where we put Ruiz in left and DH Brown.
Or the other, you could probably DH Ruiz.
DH Ruiz. I don't know. I guess that's kind of something that we're going to figure out as the season goes on, is we're still working with so many new people. We just don't really know what value they offer, especially defensively, something that's harder to put your finger on than offense.
Yeah. So that I think it's a good problem to have, though, honestly. I mean, I wish it's just so surprising that Ruiz's defense is that frustrating for them, you know, because it's I know he's fast.
How can he be so bad if he's so fast?
But he, you know, if he keeps his OPS over 1300, then he can go ahead and DH. That's just fine. And I think they are overall, the at-bats look more competitive this year. I wouldn't say the offense is playing well overall, but it isn't quite as hopeless. You know, even in games where they don't score many runs, it looks better.
There are not as many like flailing strikeouts at sliders down away as I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think we're being a little bit optimistic. I mean, obviously we're gonna talk about
this
the
is
offense.
Our job.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
We're having fun with it, so by golly, you better have fun with it too.
Yeah. But okay, fair enough. I think it's probably time to talk about it. I mean, on the topic of the offense, I would say overall, especially compared to the other two things, the pitching and the offense isn't doing us any favors necessarily. It doesn't look as bad as it did last year, for sure, but it's still not good.
No, I mean, yeah, you're looking at the box score, and the only numbers that are good belong to Esteban Ruiz, Abraham Toro, maybe, although there's no power. That's kind of it, I guess. Yeah. Tyler Nevin, yeah, like, a little bit.
I'm a little bit surprised occasionally that we win some of these games that we win, because like the offense is just not really, hasn't taken off. Like I said, I mean, literally, like I just said, it's not nearly as awful as it was last year, both by numbers and by like eye test. But we were terrible last year. So saying that it's better than last year isn't saying that it's good. You know, like it's still pretty not good. But it feels like, you know, like the offense was terrible last year and Ryan Noda was pretty good. And Ryan Noda just has not gotten it going this year. And Brent Rooker is hurt. And Seth Brown is struggling way. This is like, you know, I know that Seth Brown can have a hard time sometimes, but this is like, this feels weird. You know, this feels like something he's going to break out of. So if we held what we have right now as it is, and we, and Noda and Rooker and Brown all started playing well, it might be an okay offense. We are really hurting right now without Rooker. Like I didn't realize that really, kind of. But now, like, I was noticing it yesterday, like, looking at the lineup without him is like, oof. You know, like, no pop. Yep.
We definitely could use him back. That is for sure. I am looking at some offensive splits. Yeah, you know, we're not very good offensively yet. It is amazing that we have won as many games as we have. Some things that are jumping out. The A's are a little bit above average as righty batters against left-handed pitchers, like a 109 OPS plus relative to the league.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We haven't done this much, but dudes that are coming in as subs or pinch hitting are actually carrying their weight quite well. We got like 33 plate appearances for subs / pinch hitters, and they're on basing like 424. So I guess keep doing that, right? Hitting.
Well, because Lawrence Butler and Ruiz have both pinch hit homered so far this year, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I know Ruiz pinch hit homered for Butler just 2 days ago.
And I want to say Butler did earlier in the year, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, it feels like the pinch hit at bats have been, that's interesting because that's true. That hadn't been at the forefront of my mind, but that is, they have been having good pinch hit experiences. Which is crazy.
Yeah. But if you just want to straight up look at each player, how they're doing OPS plus-wise, we got Shea Langeliers at 111, Abraham Toro at 99, JJ Bleday 89, and then it just slowly goes down from there.
Yeah.
Ryan Noda, who is maybe the biggest underperformer, he's got a 34 OPS plus. He's just ugly. He's getting on base at a 259 clip, and we know he's capable of far more than that.
Yeah, I expect him to be up near 400, you know?
Yep.
So.
Seth Brown.
At least 380. But so, anyway, I think all of this kind of leads to our third point, which I think if the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, then you kind of have to look at the coaching. And I mean, we love Mark Kotze anyway, just because we love Mark Kotze, you know? But he seems to be, the team in small ways seems to be taking on a little bit the identity of the manager. You know, these dudes are, they're approaching the game how I remember Mark Kotze approaching the game, which is like a winning approach. You know, they're having winning at bats. They're making winning plays in the field. Like they're behaving like winners much more than they were last year. And that's gotta be, you know, you gotta look at Mark Kotze. Like he's, you know, he is, and everyone has said through all of these gnarly results before this year that he's been, you know, like nose to the grindstone doing his job the whole time anyway, which like doesn't surprise me at all. But I think we're starting to see a little bit of it now. Like these dudes that have been coached by Mark Kotze for going on 3 years now, they're really starting to like apply some of the stuff in game, and it's helping them win a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I am, because I distinctly remember at least one or two times last year coming on here and being like, what are these guys doing? You know, like what is Mark Kotze can't be doing a good job because these guys are so bad. But now it's basically the same group of guys and they're looking way better. So they must be being coached well. So sorry, Mark Kotze.
Some combination of Mark Kotze, Bobby Crosby. Who else? Ramon Hernandez is like on the staff now too, right?
Yeah, I think the Bobby Crosby, man, I love Bobby Crosby. Having Bobby Crosby and Mark Kotze on the same coaching staff is just amazing. You know?
It really is. Bobby Crosby, man. I was obsessed with him when he won Rookie of the Year.
Well, it is. It's hard to not start to think at least a little bit like, man, maybe these guys, you know, they were really good players. Maybe they are good coaches. You know, like maybe Bobby Crosby can help Nick Allen start to do some things right, you know?
Maybe. So far, so good. So yeah, the coaches are holding it together. We've got some offensive performers that haven't come around. We haven't even seen Andujar yet this year. So I'm just trying to paint this in the light that things are going pretty good, but they might be better once things really get rolling.
And I mean, there have been, I'll say three, it may be more, games that they could have / should have won already this year. And if it is, you know, say it is three, they're, I think they're what, 8-11 right now?
They are. Yep.
So, I mean, three games. I mean, if the A's were 11-8 right now,
holy
baseball cow. Losing their mind.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not that far away from, they're not that far away from that, you know? So we'll see what happens, but they're starting to get cute. I'm not going to lie. Like it's starting to get interesting. It's starting to get very interesting because they're winning, as we said, they're winning games. The numbers don't even say they should have, like, do you know what their Pythagorean is? I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 5-14.
Yeah. It's 6-11. Oh, 7-12.
Okay, so I guess they're, but I mean, there's something there. I will say, assuredly, there's, and I said, I did, even if I said it at any point last year, I lied. I didn't believe it. So I believe it now.
You wanna?
I believe that.
Know something?
What?
The A's. Okay, so the current standings in the AL West have the A's in fourth place. Astros are in fifth place. They're 6-14. And they have a worse negative. They have a worse run differential than the A's, -23, as compared to -22.
But numbers are numbers.
The Astros stink.
They do. And it brings me life. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, as good a beginning of the year as I could have realistically hoped for. I really wish they wouldn't have gone 1-7 to start it out. But they have done basically everything they could do since then to get me back in.
I've practically forgotten all about that already.
I guess I didn't remember. How do we want to do? Oh, what's the coolest thing you saw in baseball this week?
Cedric Mullins. Every time I look up and watch a highlight, he's either bopping a home run over the fence or making a diving catch that looks incredibly painful and amazing all at once. He just hit a walk-off home run the other night. Pretty cool. Pretty cool story. I mean, it's easy to forget about him when you're watching the Orioles. They got so many dudes and so many names now, but Cedric Mullins might be one of the best of them all.
Yeah, and he was the guy before they had all these other guys, you know?
Yeah, he's been there since the beginning. He's been there through it all.
I love Cedric Mullins.
One of the coolest baseball cards I've ever pulled has, like, it's Cedric Mullins with a little piece of his bat in it. And I got this, I don't know, 2017, before Cedric Mullins was a bona fide MLB star.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember at the time thinking, like, oh, Cedric Mullins, huh? But now, pretty cool piece of baseball memorabilia.
It is very cool.
What about
mine? Is the Royals? The Royals are 12-6.
Wow,
and that's crazy. Cool.
12-7.
And, yeah, I mean Bobby Witt Jr. is obviously super awesome. They're just it's kind of a fun team. You know, I think they made some prudent signings. They brought in like Michael Wacha, and they got Cole Reagan. They got like Cole Reagan super cheap from the Rangers last year, and now he's dealing.
That was a bad trade by the Rangers.
It was. So they kind of have the makings of one of those kind of sneaky teams. And I'm glad that they paid Bobby Witt they locked Bobby Witt up for long term. So I want him to win now so that teams are more likely to do that. You know,
yeah, I'm glad it's happening to the Royals. Of all the teams, you know, we're diehard A's fans. It's easy to hate on other teams, but I feel like it's not as easy to hate on the Royals. Just, you know, they've suffered throughout the years, except for 2014.
At least it's not like the Angels, you know.
It's not the Angels. Yeah.
Okay, unfortunately, I'm gonna screenshot this and send it to you. I don't know.
You're texting it?
Yeah. I can't get like the whole baseball reference, but I feel like it's pretty representative.
It should work.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dan and I are not in the same studio today. So we apologize if the recording quality isn't as great as usual. But we got lives too. Okay, it's an A. 2009 to 2021 was the career pitcher.
Had a long run, honestly.
Trevor Cahill.
It is indeed Trevor Cahill.
Trevor Cahill. Didn't he like go to the All-Star game in 2019 or for the somebody late in his career? Am I making that up?
Let me look. I can see right now. No, he was actually only an All-Star for us that second year. And he was ninth in Cy Young. But he probably could have been an All-Star later in his career. He was really good for like the Cubs. Yeah. Yeah, remember that he fizzled out as a starter and then like came back, stormed back as a bullpen arm.
Mm-hmm. And then came back to us as a starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly,
he was actually okay for us in 2018.
Dude, such a fun year. 2010 was like such a happy-go-lucky time as an A's fan. We just had Josh Willingham and Hideki Matsui and Connor Jackson.
It was great. Because that was, what was it? Brett Anderson, Trevor Cahill, Jared Parker.
Dude. Maybe, but there are always names that we were so excited about. Greg Smith, Gio Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, dude. Let me hit you with this 2011 pitching staff. Josh Outman, Gio Gonzalez, Trevor Cahill, Guillermo Moscoso, Brett Anderson, Craig Breslow, Faustino de los Santos, Grant Balfour, Brian Fuentes, Andrew Bailey, Joey Devine, Jerry Blevins, Tristan Magnuson, Brandon McCarthy, Dallas Braden, Rich Harden, Brad Ziegler, and Tyson Ross.
Damn.
There's some names of my favorite A's. You ever Tyson Ross?
Heck yeah, wow. I do. Dude, Ross still out here doing it.
I don't want to bring up too many of these names because some of these are good look back candidates for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man. That's a funny team. Oh my God, Jamal Weeks. This was the Jamal Weeks breakout year that never turned out to be a breakout.
He was so fun for like 1 year.
Dude, he was great. This was the year too, 2011. 2011 was the Jamal Weeks year. Anyway, so yeah, good. I mean, that was the, you know, I figured you might get that one fairly quickly, but we love Trevor Cahill. Okay, and then the pick a team matchup. I picked the Braves.
Pick a team.
And Corey picked the Phillies.
Yep.
So the Braves went 8-3 because one of their games got postponed, and the Phillies went 8-4. So as it stands right now, I'm a half game up on Corey.
All right. And now I believe you get first pick this week.
And I am going to ride the hot hand. I'm picking the Royals.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay. And they have a game every week. They have six games.
I'm thinking Orioles. Let's see what they got. They have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Oh, yeah, every day. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so just double checking. We're doing 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, right? Dates? Are we doing tomorrow? Are we doing Friday, too? Because we're recording.
How's it going to do? I got so sidetracked. The Orioles have the A's coming up on their schedule, and it's all highlighted in orange, and I was looking at the wrong week. So actually, I have one less game, so I might repick.
You can repick.
How does this work? I get two chances, right?
No, we get one. You get one. You get this pick.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you get two chances. Yes, two total.
All right. So I'm going Yankees, and if I don't, I'm stuck with them. Going Yankers.
Okay.
And they play every day. What's up?
Okay, so are we counting? We're counting tomorrow too, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it should be, it's six games? Seven.
Seven?
Seven games. Seven games. Okay.
Seven cool. Whole games.
All righty. And I believe we should be back in person next week unless something unforeseen comes up, but I kind of like it's a different vibe.
Yeah. It gives us flexibility. That's for sure. Then next up we got the Guardians. As we mentioned before, it'll be Guardians, Yankees, Orioles, Pirates to close out April. So kind of fun. Those are some
interesting
fun teams to watch.
And yeah,
the Yankees Orioles is going to be one heck of a gauntlet, but that'll tell us a lot.
I mean, if we win both of those series, we're going to be in a great mood on here. I'll tell you that much.
If we were to sweep the Yankees at home in a four game set, you could just kill me now.
That's true. Dude, imagine that. I feel like we've probably done that before at points, but not recently, for sure.
Nope.
Because I want to say it happened one. My dad is a Yankees fan, and I want to say at one point we went to like multiple Yankees A's games at the Coliseum, and it was a part of at least I think a four game sweep. So he was excited to have gone, but I do remember him being a little bit upset that the results hadn't gone well. So I think it has happened before, so it's not unprecedented. We can maybe do it again.
Let's see it. That would be so fun.
All righty. So yeah, pretty good week. And until we talk to you guys again, go A's.
Go A's.